Even when I preached tonight on one of the seven churches that Christ wrote to there in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 3, when you find that, Revelation chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. We're going to read quite a few verses this evening. We're only going to preach part of the section. Book of Revelation chapter 2, and verse 18. And I brought my wrong glasses. I have glasses that I can see with and glasses that I can read with, but I got the wrong ones tonight. I can't see, I can't talk, so we'll see how it goes tonight. Book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And to the angel, or the pastor, to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of potter, and they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give unto him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, just a very simple message this evening. But Lord God, I pray you bless it. Lord, I know it's your desire, Lord, to speak to hearts. I know that tonight you want to speak to each heart here tonight, and I know you are speaking. Lord, I just pray you'd help us all to have ears to hear. Lord, I just pray that we would try to tune out the activities of today, the activities of tomorrow, the heartaches and burdens of today, the things we think we might face tomorrow. Lord, I just pray for a few moments we would just stop today, Lord, and listen to your word. I know you can take one verse and apply to every heart here. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we all have a desire tonight to hear from you. Father, we ask you to speak to hearts tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to just get right the message. Like I say, normally, those of you know me know I'm 20 to 30 minutes long, so it shouldn't be long. So just always plan on a 25-minute message. That way, if I don't stutter, it's a 25-minute message. If I do stutter, well, it's about a 35 or 45-minute message. So that's the way I look at it. So I just try to aim for about, I down hope I do about, normally about, consistently about 25 to 35. So we'll see how it is tonight. So far, turn back over to Revelation chapter 1. We see, first of all, I mean, chapter 2, verse 1, we see, first of all, that Christ wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 1, unto the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the soul of seven golden candlesticks. So we see that he wrote to an actual physical church there at Ephesus. And then look over at chapter 2, verse 8, we see also that he wrote a church to Smyrna. Verse 8, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation. And then look over to chapter 2, verse 12. We see that he wrote also a church to Pergamos. Verse 12, to the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he. And then that takes us up to our passage we have there in verse 18. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, some things that we know about Thyatira. We know that it's a Thyatira town. That it's a town located between Sardis and Pergamos on the Lycus River. We know it's famous for his purple dye, and we know that most of them are Macedonian Greeks that lived there. We aren't sure how the church they started. We assume that, remember, when Paul was turn to Acts 16:14. When Paul was preaching and he met a lady there named Lydia, and she was saved. So the conjecture or the thought is that when she went back to her place, her family and other believers with her, and the church may have started there because of her. So the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, I'm sorry, Acts 16:14 says this, says this, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. So, you know, the conjecture is that probably she went back home. Her family, we know that her family got saved, and most likely the church started there. You know, with her family. So that's looking at the place called the Thyatira, and then the author of Thyatira. I mean, the author of the letter, verse 18, and then the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God. So we see here that Christ is the author of the letter, the letter. And I just want to stop tonight and say, first of all, let's don't forget that Christ is in Revelation. Many times we get so wrapped up in in all the events of Revelation, but look back at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, and if we stop and look, we see Christ throughout the book of Revelation. So whenever you read Revelation, always stop and look for the person of Christ there in Revelation. So we see that Christ is the author. Also in verse 18, it gives us a symbolic description. Said the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like brass. It speaks of his judgment. So we see here a brief picture of Christ as the author there, and then over in verse 19 we see that Christ that he finds some things that's good about the church at Thyatira. We will look at those real quickly tonight. Book of Acts chapter 2 in verse 19 is where we're at. Verse 19 said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. He mentions works twice. And the last should be more than the first. I went back to look at some of these. I got the idea of works here is remember how when a person first gets saved, they're on fire and they go, but then after a while they kind of slow up here, to slow up there. Many times in our Christian lives, we start out we work faithfully for the Lord, and we work hard, and we invest our time and ourselves in it. Then after a while we kind of waned off. So here he knew their works, and then he said also that he knew their charity. The idea of charity, it's works compelled by God's love. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. The idea of works, they worked, and their works was compelled by love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Am I talking too fast? No? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I get talking. If I'm not careful, I get in high gear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I like the word constrained. It's the idea of to compel or force, to urge with power. Church here at Thyatira, their works was compelled by love, by the love of God. It says, he knew their service. They were involved in the ministries of the church, and they was always, I was adding to the ministry of the church. And then he just says and thy patience with, they were loyal to the Lord, in their faith, that their service and their faith, that they were loyal and they were patient. They can t- continued on. So here I just want to draw a quick word picture of how he commended them. He says, listen, he said, you're doing good works. You know, you got the right motivation. So here's our church at Thyatira. They are doing what they ought to do. I'm thankful for their example, but at the same time, what we're going to look here in a little bit is something happened somewhere along the line. We're going to see they let down their guard. And tonight, I want to look at our lives in the lives individually tonight and see how we started and where we are now and where we want to end up. So we see first of all that they had a good start and they were continuing to do things that were right and for the right reason. And then that's what he commended them for. And then let's just go on down to the next verse. Look at verse 20. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. He's told them all these good things. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent for fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, and into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So apparently here, they had allowed a woman in to teach and to seduce, and the Lord refers to her as Jezebel. We all remember the story over in First Kings of Ahab and Jezebel, and how she led the nation through her husband, into idolatry and immorality. And I want to stop again here for a second. Think about this. So here's a church that is loving the Lord. They're doing all the right things. They're doing, but at the same time, they have let down their guard and allowed some immorality and sin in there at the church. Now, I begin to think, how does that affect my life? How does it affect Hope Baptist Church? I begin to think, I look around. There are a lot of churches tonight that have the right preaching and the right teaching, but they have no love, no care, no concern, no works. And there are some churches that have they have love and they have ministries, they have all those things, but there's no strong teaching, strong preaching, and the churches just begin to fall apart. In my life, I think it's important for me to step back and say, what is my life like? There are a whole lot of people that can, they can do a lot of good for the Lord, but yet they just don't have any, and they live in sin. I don't know. There's a good guy coming to our church the other day, and this guy's a great musician. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, he's a great musician. And he loves everybody. He wants to reach everybody, and all this. He's a preacher. He said, "I came down." He said, "I want to be your new worship leader." He said, "Here's what we're going to do." He said, "I'll go ahead and lead the singing. I'll call in some friends of mine that they play the drums and they play the guitar and they sing, and then we'll take out the piano, and the piano player, my wife, my piano player said, and we're going to reach a whole lot of people with all of God's love." I said, "Okay." I said, that sounds good, brother." I said, "Let me ask you this. Are you saved?" "What are you asking me that for?" "Well, are you saved? What's your doctrine? What's your, tell me about yourself." He knew nothing. He lives an ungodly life. I believe he's got a real desire. I don't know if it's on right or not. He's got a real desire to serve the Lord. But on the other hand, he said no teaching, no education. I mean, there's no growth there. And he has sacrificed all that to reach folks. The church here at Thought Rock had basically done that. They had all the right things. They had all those things in order. But then they let a lady named, or a woman named Jezebel, come in and to begin teach false doctrine, and to begin to lure the the church in there, the church people in there, and to immorality. So on one hand, they were doing good; on the other hand, they weren't doing good, and God is going to judge them for that. But the church there, they put up with that. They let it go on. They didn't rebuke that. They didn't stand against that. In our lives, it should be our desire for our lives to have the right works and the right things and the right love for folks. But to understand, we should not sacrifice right teaching, right living, right preaching, the things that are right. We should not sacrifice the things that are right and true just because we love folks. Because truly, if I love folks, I talked to a lady last night. She called me on the phone. I said, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I said, you're not going to like it. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Let's don't forget. There is right doctrine. There's right teaching, and I'm all for that. There's love, but one should never offset the other. When my kids were younger, I spanked them because I loved them. I wanted them to act right and to do right. And here, because the Lord's addressed the church at Thyatira, he said, listen, he said, I will chastise so other churches may see. He wanted to correct them. In our lives today, what's our life like? Let's go back to our personal lives now. We come to church. We sit here, we sing the songs, we know the Bible verses, and we know all that, and we sing, and we say praise the Lord, and we'll say amen, and we'll say the right things here at church, and we may even be involved in ministries. Those things are good to do, amen. God commends them for that. But how is our life when I leave this church? When I go out those doors and I go to my house and there's no one around, I'm sitting there by myself watching the television or the computer screen. I'm sitting there in my home and folks at church can't see me. How's my life? Have I allowed things to slip where they shouldn't slip? Have I allowed things in that should not be in? If these things are true, God will commend one, but he won't overlook the other. It should be my desire for myself and my church to have the love and the compassion and the caring and the reaching out and going out and helping folks. That should be there. But at the same time, we can't drop everything else just to reach folks. If we really love them, we want to teach them the truth and to show them the way of salvation and show them how to live a life that is godly and pleasing unto the Lord. But this evening, how's our life individually? Not talking as a church side, but individually, how's your life? Each of the churches, God. He some things he commended. Well, I think there was two churches that he didn't address anything negatively, I don't think. But but he commended them. Tonight you're to be commended. You're here. You're faithful. You're listening to me. That's gotta be rough. You're listening to me tonight. Hopefully you love me. Matthew, do you love me?
Yes, sir.
I love you too, babe. I knew you'd say yes, sir. And that's good. Grace, Miss Grace, do you still love me? Okay. Lydia, never mind. That's my wife. But you know what? We should love and care. But if I see Matthew going the wrong direction, and I go over to him, and he and I are talking, and I see things that are there that's not right, and I just ignore those things. I don't say anything. I'm saying, Matthew, you're going the wrong direction, but you need to back up here. Do I really love him? Or do I love our friendship more than I love him? I had a guy in my office this week down at church. I said, listen, I said, I love you. And you might leave the church. I understand that. But I need to wrestle something with you. He got mad. He yelled. I let the guy yell. And I said, okay, I tell you, I said, I love you, but you're wrong. Here's where you're wrong at. And God broke my heart. I so bad wanted to kind of gloss things over. And the thought came to mind, Thyatira. I said, listen, you're wrong. Here's where, God says you're wrong. Here's where you're heading for. Would you please stop and listen? I said, I love you, but I will not, you know, I said, I will not address this. I love you enough to take the truth. Will you listen? He got mad. He yelled a little bit. I told him to don't. I said, don't yell at me. I said, I love you, but don't yell at me. And he's still coming. Why? If folks know that we love them, right. They will listen to the truth.
That's right.
They will listen to correction. In our lives, let's don't sacrifice one over the other. May our individualized, and I know that Kazado is strong in all these areas, and I know that, and that's why it's easy to preach us here tonight. I know they're strong in all those areas. I know that. But folks, let's don't forget, if I love folks, I'm going to talk to them. If I love somebody, and if I have a friend of mine or a relative that's going to hell, and I see them, and I say, I love you. It's good, so he says, sit for a while. I love you. How's things going? And I never talk to him about salvation. Do I really love him? If I really love him, I will do everything I can to keep him out of hell.
Right.
I will witness to him. I will love him. I will witness to him. If I see a friend going down the wrong road, and I know he knows better. I know he knows the word of God. If I really love him, am I going to not address and say, listen, I love you. I know you're going through a hard time now. And, you know, all these things. And I don't address those things. Do I really love him? Maybe I've been through the same thing he's going through. But he doesn't know it. Brother Matthew, come here a little bit, please, Brother Matthew. Are you mad or Matthew? Matthew, okay, that's what I thought. I want to make sure you wouldn't get too big for Matthew. If he's going through a thing, maybe I've been through an addiction or something in the past, and I see him going in the wrong direction in that area, and I truly love him, and the Lord says, Rick, you've had victory in that area. Go talk to him and share that with him. Lord, he doesn't know that I've ever done that. Lord, what would he think? Lord, I don't admit that to a young person that goes to Adel. If I love him, I will take my mask off.
Right.
Say, Brother Matthew, I love you. I see this in your life. I've been there. Here's what happened in my life. Here's the consequences of it. And here's how God gave me victory. If I really love him, I'll take the mask off and go to him and tell him the truth. Now, I can't control what he says or does or thinks back to me. But if I do my part, God's going to bless. Thank you, brother. So tonight, just very, very, like I said, very simple message. Let's love folks. Let's love them to death, and let's be there. You know. Let's encourage. Let's do what we can to reach out to people. But let's don't sacrifice the truth in the place of love. But at the same time, let's don't be so hard on one that we neglect the other. So it's okay if I share with him about you and Vicki and Elmwood. Like, it's okay if I share that. Okay. There's a girl down in Elmwood. She works on the streets of Vine Street down there, about where our mission used to be down there. She's gruff. She's rough. She's an addict. She works on the street for a living. You know what that means. And we first went there, my wife loved her, but she didn't love her. One day, we was talking to Vicki. And we got talking to her and sharing the word of God with her some more. And Vicki left. And my wife said, you know what? She's just a normal person that's made bad decisions in life. She just needs the Lord. Sometimes we're not careful. We get so used to being out of that lifestyle for a while or that sin for a while that we don't have a burden for folks there anymore, because they should know better. How can they do that? Tonight, let's not sacrifice one for the other. It's God's plan that Brother be straight in doctrine, straight in his lifestyle, and he does everything that's right. He does nothing that's wrong. And that he loves people, and he wants folks to serve the Lord. But he will never have Brother Sutherland sacrifice the truth for love, or sacrifice love for the truth, because they go together. If I love folks, I'll tell them the truth. If I love folks, I'll reach out to them. If I have the right truth in my heart, I'll reach out. If Christ is in control of my life, he's going to lead me to reach out to others. Sometimes it brings us out of a comfort zone. Sometimes it means we take our mask off. Sometimes we say, "Listen, I love you, but I got to tell you the truth." Folks, in your lives, please, may we, not you, but may we never compromise on love or truth. They should be hand in hand. Maybe there's an area of your life tonight where you have begun to compromise, go backwards in some areas. Maybe it's in the area of, of truth and doing right. Tonight, why don't you say, "Lord, help me do right." Or maybe we begin to step back in the area of loving folks and caring for folks, and our hearts got a little bit hard. Maybe tonight we just step back and say, "Lord, break my heart afresh. Lord, help me love folks as I ought to love folks." Christ looked over Jerusalem and he wept. He loved folks. When Judas came to betray Christ with a kiss, Christ said, "Friend." When Peter was yet to deny Christ, Christ knew he was going to use Peter in a great and mighty way. Tonight, ask God to break our hearts for folks. Ask God to make us strong in truth and what's right.